hey, hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome so much to episode one of Talking Up a Storm, a Heroes Lounge podcast. I am your friendly neighborhood Latino Marsha. I'm going to host the next X amount of minutes where we will talk about esports. And just this weekend was the Eastern Clash. So the best teams of Korea go up against the best teams of China. And here to talk about that, I have two very special guests, starting off with Heartless, everyone's favorite stream manager over at the Heroes Lounge. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thank you. Am I the favorite stream manager? I guess I am by default, right?
Yeah, pretty much. At least you're in the top three.
All right.
Talking about casters, though, as Heartless has the responsibility for the casters over at the lounge, Larkin here is joining us too. Larkin, not only my favorite co-caster, at least for the moment, so stay on your toes, but also a writer for Team Liquid and their Heroes of the Storm content. How are you doing, Larkin?
Yeah, I'm doing really well. I'm happy to be here. I'm sad I missed the Western Clash one, but glad that we're here to natter about the best of the East.
Indeed, we are gonna jump into the Eastern Clash. That's what we are here about, to talking up a storm, esports, and the Eastern Clash just finished. And we are, of course, gonna cover it kind of the same way as we did with the Western Clash, go through the series, talk about the teams, but it's most likely going to be a bit shorter episode as the balance between China and Korea, just to take that first, going into this tournament, did any of you had hopes for China to have success in a reasonable way?
No. But like, I was still kind of disappointed because SPT especially were kind of talking a lot about how they felt that the region had improved a lot, both since the mid-season brawl and since the last Eastern Clash, where they equally got like completely outclassed. They were saying that the skill level of the region has improved. They were saying that the rosters had improved with the roster swaps and stuff. And like outside of a couple decent games from beyond the game, mostly it was really, really, really outmatched in favor of Korea.
Yeah, I don't think anyone expected really the Chinese team to give much of a fight. But ultimately, they have performed better than last time. Yeah. What I recall. And also, you know, one of the better games in the whole tournament was the better series in the whole tournament was the Gen G versus Beyond the Game. They actually gave them a good fight, you know, not something you'd expect from a Chinese team. So, you know what, I'm inclined to agree that they have improved quite a bit. Again, not enough to actually beat a Korean team, but enough to give them run for their money, at least Beyond the Game did.
Jumping straight into the first day, as we have a tendency to do here, we saw the first initial series get played out. Four series with four Korean teams taking on four Chinese teams. And 2-0 all over the board here for in favor of the Korean teams.
Yeah, I mean, that's to be expected, right?
Yeah, like I said, nobody really expected Chinese team to beat the Koreans, but even though all of them were a 2-0 in favor of the Koreans, it doesn't really tell you the right story of exactly what happened in the games.
Yeah, you mentioned specifically Beyond the Game and Genji, which was in the first round, which on paper looks like a very clean 2-0 victory, but Beyond the Game put up a fight there.
Yeah. It's definitely, if there's like a series you want to watch with the Chinese team, this is definitely a series I'd personally recommend to watch. Great performance by them. Again, they did go up against the best team in the world, right? Keep that in mind. And they still gave you one hell of a performance. So that is something to watch.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the thing is, it's more that it comes from how China, at least kind of when Heroes started emerging as a proper esport, like in 2016, China was actually much stronger internationally. They were able to contend, especially with Western teams. They were still kind of in the shadow of the Koreans, but it was more of a case of the top two Korean teams and then there being an equal case made for the top Chinese teams and then the lower tier Korean teams. But I think Korea in general has really gotten stronger over the past few months to the extent that all four of their top teams are now really good compared to just the top two and then a sizable gulf. So that's probably a factor as why China didn't perform as well overall, because all of the Korean teams were outmatching them.
Yeah, and especially you mentioned Super Perfect Team. Those were seed one from China, mm-hmm. going up against seed four from Korea in the first round. Team Blossom, consisting of a couple of former semi legends, if you can call them that, in Merida and Hong Kono. But yeah, that was also a 2-0 victory for with the, as you mentioned, the fourth seed team against the first seed from China. So unfortunately, not much positives to be taken from there, of course, except for some good performances by Beyond the Game specifically. But that brings us. I'm not sure which series was played next. Was that a lower bracket? Yes, it was. And wasn't it? Yes, it was. Then we went to the lower bracket where we saw Chinese teams going up against each other. SPT versus CE, first off.
Yeah, CE were the only Chinese team there who had the inevitable issues in terms of visas and stuff. So they had two replacements, including Timeless, the legend from EU Hero League from last year, the spawner of the classic XLFT meme. And they didn't look good. Like, they obviously didn't have the time to gel. Like, I think they were by far the weakest performing of the Chinese team, so SPT still were able to beat them quite comfortably. But then Beyond the Game, I think, really impressed, considering they were the lowest seeds in from China, and beat out the one, which I think was a bit of an upset in Chinese terms as well.
Yeah, and a 2-0 victory for Beyond the Game over the one. Did you see that catch a series, Atlas?
2-1, actually.
Yeah, 2-1. 2-1 for Beyond the Game over the one. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, did you catch that?
Actually, no. This was one of the few matches I could not catch due to time issues. I mean, let's keep in mind, right, the times at which this tournament as a whole was played was quite inconvenient for Europeans, yeah.
Yeah, I had to watch all of them on catch-up. But that that series was actually really good. Beyond the Game's drafting is really, really interesting. They were quite happy to run stuff like Alarak, Zarya. In Game 3, they went to BOE and picked up, like, the old classic of Lunara on it. And, actually played really, really well. They really showed, I think, the strength of Zarya, which is something I've sung a lot. I think she's must have been underrated. And in general, that's kind of how Chinese teams go. They have really cool drafts. Generally, they have really good team fighting. Like, they are so good at being able to get kills in situations when no one should get kills, but their decision-making and their macro really falls short, and they just do things that don't make any sense after they're able to get, like, incredible picks, which is how that series against GNG happened. They were getting kill after kill, and then they would do something really stupid, like fight 4v5 a talent hit down and get wiped.
I mean, I think this is the story of China as a region, right? Like, they've always had this amazing team fighting capabilities, but in pretty much every other department, they were lacking.
We are, as we see here, two of the Chinese go home and two of them going through in the lower bracket. Can you just give me, like, a quick rundown on how the Chinese meta looks these days? Mostly because it has been, like, well known for being super aggressive and hiding in bushes. Is that, like, still a thing, or have they, like, mellowed out a little bit?
Less bushes, but still very aggressive. I think the rule was, if there aren't 20 kills on each team, it's not a proper HTC China game. Like, that's how it's been throughout the season. They do love a good brawl. And they do bring out more curious picks, more interesting strategies than others do, but generally their meta still kind of follows the same pattern that you see in Korea. They definitely copy a lot of what you see in Korea, so you see lots of heavy initiation tanks prioritized. You still see big priority on to things like Phoenix and Hanzo and stuff like that. So nothing too out of the ordinary there. But yeah, they will bring out Alarak and Zarya and stuff like that from time to time as well, which is cool.
Yeah, I'm just looking over the drafts here quick now, and yeah, as you mentioned, it's not a lot of like super crazy stuff, except for yeah, for the Sauri and Alarak with Lunara when needed, of course. But that was the game end of day one. Beyond the game and Super Perfect Team move on in the lower bracket. Then the next day. On Saturday, we see the first of a couple of Korea versus Korea series here, starting with Tempest versus Blossom. And 3-1 win to Tempest, going in with a higher seed, of course, but Team Blossom kind of with the veterans and a couple of them are, having been to many lounges and such before. Are you surprised that the Tempest won this out, and how telling is the score?
Larkin, you can take it.
Oh, you go ahead.
Well, keep in mind that the first seed for Korea is Genji, but the second seed is Tempest, and the third seed is Ballistic, and those three have kind of been like the top three for a while. I mean, yes, you have very four strong teams, but you have even stronger three teams for Korea. So Blossom also has been for quite a while, like this fourth seed in Korea. So is it a surprise? No. The 3-1, though, shows you kind of hints that there was like a great show there, especially by Blossom. Like throughout the tournament, I think they came across as a much stronger team that people expected. Especially in their later series that, you know, you'll mention it later, we'll talk about it, but the Tempest versus Blossom, 3-1 in favor of Tempest, at least for me, was not a big surprise.
Yeah, I think Blossom definitely really exceeded expectations. I think I was really happy to see that they got that fourth seed ahead of Miracle or any of the other teams in HTC Korea. Mostly just because, you know, I love Hong Kono as a person and I love Mary Day as a player, and it's so cool to see him back. I think they still have issues to work out, and actually it's been the same issues that Hong Kono has faced since forever. When they're behind in a game, they really don't deal with it very well. And if they go behind in a series, it kind of just rolls from one game to the next. Like, they will just make more and more mistakes, taking like more and more silly initiations and stuff like that. I think most of that kind of comes from Hong Kono. But when they're leading, when they're controlling tempo, they look super good. In the series that Harlis mentioned, when we get to it later, the one against Ballistics, I think they were really kind of unfortunate to lose that, but it kind of typifies their problem, which is like, I think, an attitude or mentality type thing, that when they start losing, they kind of wobble pretty hard.
Yeah, it's kind of a shame with Hong Kong these days, as you mentioned. You also used to be a huge fan of his old tank style, super aggressive, very impressive, like technical skill. I was a huge fan in general. Loved every time he got a Muradin in a draft, but he hasn't risen to the same level as in other roles just yet. And unfortunately, this time for both him and Meridate was not enough. And they go down to the lower bracket with Tempest going through. And then in the next series, we see Ballistics, the third seed from Korea, going up against Genji. And we haven't actually mentioned Genji yet, but I think it's worth saying here that, as Heartless just put it, there's four seeds from Korea, but one of them is Genji. And like, is this just unfair teams?
I mean, Genji is broken. Like, again, it's like, okay, cool, you have top three teams in Korea, Genji, Ballistic, Tempest, but you need to understand that, similar to EU, actually, and what's happening in NA at the moment, it's actually, I guess it's across all the three major regions, the top seed is in a completely different level than the rest of the team in the region. And this is especially true for Genji. They are the number one seed in the world. And they are just on a completely different level, even when you compare them to the top, to the second seed in the world, Dignitas. They're just on a completely different level at the moment. So I expected no less than complete X null for Genji, you know, whatever, 2-0, 3-0 is like, and
And of course they got their 2-0 over the Chinese team in the first round. But here, going up against the Korean team, of course they will get some more competition, I guess. But score 3-0. How did the series look?
I mean, Ballistics haven't looked as good as they have been in the past for a couple months now. They didn't have a great mid-season brawl. They kind of showed a bit of wobbling throughout the regular season as well. For the record, I don't think Gen.G are indestructible. I think they do have weaknesses. And I think there's a lot that can be exploited. But you have to, basically, it's the thing with Gen.G is as soon as they get one tiny little advantage, they will turn it into something almost insurmountable. So you basically have to play flawlessly to beat them. But I mean, Diggins House were 1% of a final cut away from winning mid-season brawl, so I think that's worthy of note. And Gen.G did fall behind in some of these games. They did lose a lot of kills. They did lose some advantages at some points, but ultimately they were always able to close it out. I don't think this series was that much of a surprise, to be honest. And I think it set the kind of tone for how Ballistics would do. They kind of caught fire in the loser's bracket, which surprised me in itself. But yeah, I think Gen.G have been... I think Tempest are by far the second best team in Korea. Like, there's a close... I think Tempest and Gen.G are closer than Tempest and Ballistics are.
Yeah, if that will played out in the Eastern Clash, we'll get to. But before... Can someone talk to me about one of my favorite players, Resets Nasibo on Tomb of the Spider Queen?
I mean, okay, so there's a lot of memes around Nasibo in general, like as a hero. But keep in mind that no matter what the meme is, Nasibo still is a level 20 GG. Pretty much. It hasn't changed. This fundamental fact about a hero has not changed. You get him to level 20, and he does an absurd amount of damage. Structures to heroes, it doesn't matter. Especially Spider build, which is what we have seen in the Eastern Clash. We have seen the Spider build, and essentially Spider build versus Toad build is, do you want to get kills? You do, you go Spider build. You want to do more structure damage, zone out, soften up tanks and stuff? You go Toad. And we have seen the Spider build, they went for the kills, and I mean, jokes aside, he is a really scary hero at level 20, and
yeah. I mean, wasn't just like a random thing. It's something that they planned and they've had kind of around for a while. And Gen.G actually have a really big hero pool in general. They have a lot of weird things that they bring out, and often they are the ones who start shaping the rest of the meta. Like it was Rich playing Hammer at midseason brawl, most famously, that kind of suddenly propelled her back to the top of the meta. And Nasibo is something that they've hinted at a few times, among other things. And in that game on Tomb, Ballistics were playing this almost triple backline type thing with the Jaina, the Jimmy, and then a Stukov, all of which make pretty good Nasibo targets. So he was just able to stack up so comfortably and just kind of shut down what Ballistics had, because Nasibo actually isn't as bad as people seem to think, and it's just like how people perceive the pro meta in general. Like, some heroes are considered memes or whatever, but like actually all it takes is one pro team to play them and win, and suddenly they'll be meta and it'll be fine. So I think Nasibo is one of those.
I don't need any convincing. I love me some of that witch doctor. But moving on to the final loser bracket, the quarterfinal. There we have once again Korea going up against China, the two Chinese teams that made it through the first stage of the loser bracket, beyond the game, taking on Team Blossom and Super Perfect Team going up against Ballistics. And once again, no surprises? Question mark?
No. It was as to be seen. I mean, Blossom looked really good in that series. Because beyond the game with the Chinese team that had impressed most, I think. And Blossom really kind of manhandled them. And I love how they went into game three and like put Hong Kong on Illidan and stuff like that. And just, I like that kind of, that flexibility, that creativity from Blossom. And Ballistics, they had no problems really with Super Perfect Team. I think they were the most disappointing from the Chinese teams because they talked up a storm.
Heartless, you are known as a very optimistic guy. give me some positives the Chinese can the Chinese guys can take away from this 0-3 losses.
First of all, I didn't know I'm the optimistic guy, but I guess I am. Well, keep in mind, again, I'm just going to mention beyond the game, the team as a whole, and this is going to be my go-to in the Chinese team. They have shown improvement, a big one. And keep in mind, they had a big issues early on in the year with a lot of players moving on away from Heroes of the Storm. And, you know, everything kind of ruffled there and a lot of changes happening in the region. And what we have seen now is that things have, you know, looked better for them. Yes, they lost to the Koreans, but it was expected. Keep in mind, Koreans in Heroes of the Storm, anyway, historically have always been the strongest region in the world, for the most part. There's been like small periods where EU took over a little bit, but ultimately, it has always been the Koreans that have been the top dog in Heroes of the Storm. So facing against them would always look like you're weaker than you are. So I'm really, you know, I'm having a lot of high hopes for the Chinese teams. Again, beyond the game, surprised me a lot in this clash. And you know what? In hindsight, this is another game I'm gonna recommend to watch. The beyond the game, the most surprising team out of the Chinese versus Blossom, the most surprising team out of the Koreans. So, yeah,
I think it's a really good reflection in general on how the regions have kind of developed over the past year, because especially this time last year, Korea wasn't looking too good. Obviously, like, Fnatic had just won mid-season Brawl. In general, the quality of the Korean teams was declining, and there was a lot of negativity surrounding the attitude towards the game in general, the HTC, just people in Korea were kind of saying, you know, there's not enough people playing the game, there's not enough support for the players. You know, there was doom saying about Korea leaving HTC in general and stuff like that. Lots of people were retiring, moving on to dumb mobile games or whatever. But recently, like, the game has really increased in popularity again in Korea, and I think to an extent in China as well. Like, there's a lot more teams signing up in Open Division in Korea. There's a lot more people playing in Hero League and stuff like that. My girlfriend says that when she's in PC Bangs, there's always people playing Heroes, and there's, like, adverts and stuff for it everywhere, and it's actually growing, which is really good to see, and hopefully means that, well, obviously it's already reflected in how much stronger the region looks in general with the four strong teams instead of two. Hopefully that will just continue to grow, because still the bottom of the Premier in Korea is the way bigger gap in skill compared to the other regions.
Yeah.
We pretty much have like covered how things are now, like how things are in China, how things are in Korea, like the status of these scenes. We also have pretty much talked about how much stronger Gen G is than everyone else. So it's no surprise that they won this tournament without losing a single map. But looking at the four last series of the Eastern Clash, four Korean teams left, one of them each have to leave the tournament until Genji was left at the top. First, we have Tempest 0-3 against Genji.
Yeah, I mean, disappointing, I think, for Tempest, because I know that they are better. Like, I think they are capable of giving Genji more of a run than that. And I think the way they played when they got towards the latter end of this tournament was much lower than the usual standards. They tried some weird stuff. Like, they tried to bring out Kael'thas twice, which didn't work. Like, they were just, I think they were, yeah, maybe the pressure got to them a bit, and they just didn't play up to their usual standard.
Yeah.
I just want to say, again, I'm going to go back to the point I've mentioned earlier. Gen G is on a whole different level. Keep that in mind. So it's not a big surprise that they won the 3-0, even against their second seed in the region. So.
Then the semifinal losers bracket seems like a way more interesting series. Going off of the score, we had Ballistics 3-2 against Team Blossom.
This was the series of the tournament for me. I think in terms of entertainment, in terms of quality, I think it was, and you can follow this, the kind of the narrative of that series when Blossom coming in, like, really this great carefree attitude. You know, they're all smiling and laughing. Ballistics were, like, super stressed. You could tell that they were so tilted and, like, making mistakes. And then something just clicks in game three, and they just go on a tear and win the whole thing. And you can just, you watch Blossom just crumble the confidence that they had, just like going away with each passing team fight until they end up just falling apart and losing the whole series. It was really surprising that Ballistic showed that mental fortitude, because, like, as I'd said, they had looked nowhere near as good over the past few months as they have. And I was kind of thinking, you know, this is going to be a end of phase roster swap type deal. Like, this is, they're clearly not too happy at the moment. But, like, that was a really impressive display from them.
We see Team Blossom in game two pulling out a Nasebo that was seen by Genji earlier in the tournament, also on Tomb of the Spider Queen 1 with that. So, ladies and gentlemen, that is now meta. Mm-hmm. But then Ballistics turned it all around, as you mentioned, with the reverse sweep Vala coming out for them in the game that turned it all around. Yeah. Is this something you expect to see going forward, Heartless?
This always happens with Ballistics. Every time they're on the edge, every time they're about to lose, SESE brings out his Vala. He's always loved Vala, and he will just always play it if he feels like his back is against the wall.
I mean, keep in mind that this is SCSC on Vala, right? Yeah. So never underestimate him. Yes, Vala is not quite the meta anymore, especially in EU, but it is Battlefield of Eternity. It's a good meta for her. It is SCSC on Vala. And I mean, I guess this is what they needed to turn it around. SCSC on Vala, some Diablo action, Leaving Resets, and yeah.
Yeah, that definitely worked out for them as they took home the series 3-2, going through to the losers final now against Tempest. They should be the underdog here, but they fought their way through Ballistics, showing some more good spirit.
Yeah, I mean, again, Tempest is the second seed in Korea, and Ballistics is the third, and Ballistics still managed to make it happen. They actually managed to win the 3-1 after the reverse sweep on Team Blossom. It's what a fantastic run for Ballistic in those few last series for them. Absolute beast. Like, there's not much to say about this. Yeah, they went then to play against Genji, and it's Genji, but still, the reverse sweep on Team Blossom, and then a 3-1 on Tempest. This was quite an upset, at least in my opinion.
Larkin, how disappointed were you with Tempest there?
I mean, I think it's a classic case of what you see in tournament structures like this. The team that in the winners' finals gets stomped, they go down, they're sitting, twiddling their thumbs. Team in losers round three pulls off this amazing reverse sweep. They come in hot, they've got momentum, they're so like, yeah, let's go, we just fucking stomp this 3-2, like, yeah. They come in and Tempest is like, yeah, we just lost 3-0, like, we're not going to beat Genji in the finals, even if we make it, you know. And that momentum just carries through, and Ballistics are 2-0 up before they can blink, and Tempest kind of regathered and brought it back in game three, but then it wasn't enough to come back over, obviously it just closed it out, but then by that point, they'd played all those games in one day and were just kind of burned out. Came up against a fresh and ready Genji, had been watching all of these games, getting all the strategies down, and then just stomped them.
Yeah, draft-wise from the losers final, not much exciting. Of course, the Kael'thas being pulled out again for Tempest, losing another map here. Same with Anubarak. But aside from that, yeah, Ballistics pulling out the momentum and bringing them into the grand final, leading up to the major series of the whole tournament, the most exciting action. And this was a boring series. like I don't know even what to say, but it was extremely uninteresting. It seemed like to me like Ballistic maybe had like a 30% belief in themselves that they could win, and 10 minutes into game number one they just like, oh no, never mind. And then just rolled over.
Yeah, it was just like, it was like 30% battery, you know. They'd used up pretty much everything they had in store in those previous series, and they just, you have to be playing at the absolute top of your game to stand a chance against Genji, and they just didn't have enough in the tank. it's not dissimilar really from the Western Clash finals when Leftovers had that incredible run and they made it all the way to the finals and then they just got wiped by Dig because Dig were totally fresh and ready to just keep them up.
I'm actually going to say, yes, it was a Storm Gen G 4-0, but I'm not sure if I would define it as a boring series. Because like compared to the Western Clash, where you had Dignitas versus Leftovers, I enjoyed these finals, the Eastern Clash finals, much more than the Western Clash. I think mostly because of the mentality that you could see coming from Ballistics into this. When Leftovers came to the match against Dignitas, they had this defeatist mentality, like,
yeah,
we lost this, let's meme with Gazlow, you know? Like, they gave up before they even went into the series, okay? It's different, at least, you know, in my eyes, it's different when you come and you face a strong opponent and you know you're the underdog. You know you're expected to lose that. Like, the odds are against you. There's a difference between that mentality to, we lost the game already, you know? We lost the series already, you know? It's whatever. Let's just have fun, quote-unquote. Mm. Now, I'm not against fun, right? But keep in mind, this is professional scene. This is the both of them were the finals, the grand finals of the clashes, the Eastern and Western. And so, for me at least, I'd expect a bit more of a competitive attitude. You know, give everything you got. You know, go to the anime style, right? Like, fight to the end, and maybe something will happen. Of course, this is real life, and you're still gonna lose. It doesn't matter how much you're gonna try. But I don't know. For me, it was more interesting than the Western Grand Final. The Western Grand Final were boring because they just came. We're gonna lose this. Let's have fun. Let's meme a bit. But the Eastern, again, it was a stomp, but more entertaining to watch than the Western.
We are going to round off here soon before Heartless goes Super Saiyan on us over here. But there are two like last questions I just want to ask of you. Can try to keep this in the short. One thing you already touched upon. Europe and Korea, North America and China. Okay, those two are maybe not that similar, but in both scenes, you have one team that is way better than the rest. What kind of similarities can we see even looking at these tournaments and the different scenes?
I'll admit, in China, I'm not quite sure if it's relevant. But in Korea, EU, NA, definitely. Especially, you know, like, in NA, Tempo Storm, they could give a run. Like, Tempo Storm and AJG were top two, but ever since Tempo Storm lost Psalm, they crumbled. They're just not, in my opinion, they're just not on the same level as AJG anymore. They lost their drafter, and their new drafter, I forgot who it is, it's a Korean one.
Vin.
No, Vin is not their drafter.
Oh no, Sway is.
Sway.
But I was more thinking like the Eastern Clash versus Western Clash. Both tournaments had one team that was way better than the rest.
Yeah.
There some similarities in the scenes? Like, is this a culture thing in Heroes? Is it the money? Well, what makes this happen?
Like, I'm not quite sure, because if you look at EU has a lot of good teams. So you'd expect to have, like, a less discrepancy in skill between the teams, right? And it is true if you look at teams 2 to 10, or 2 to 8, and even some of the teams in Open Division can be a lot better than they are once they get to scrim against pros. But, you know, this is if you exclude Dignitas from the picture, which you cannot really. So I'm not quite sure what it is that makes it so that you have one really good team in EU. In Korea and NA, which are smaller regions in terms of hero, in terms of player pool, it kind of makes sense, right? You will have the best players funneling to play together, but in EU, I'm really baffled why it is the case. Yes, the top five players will want to play together, so you have a team like Dignitas, but will the, you know, seed 6 to 10 in players, which will create the second best team, are they going to be so much weaker than the first team? I would not have expected this in EU, so I'm not really quite sure what to answer here.
Gen G have got like this combination where they have not only the best players, some of the best players on their roster, but also they're a fantastic team with a fantastic coach who played together for a very long time, and they have everything down. They've, you know, pretty much always been on top. They had maybe in phase one, not so much, but definitely since phase two. Dignitas, I think, are pretty much the best in their role. Every single player is like, is one of, if not the best on their role. Like, I think it's hard to say that there's any players in Europe who are above each one of them in their respective roles. You could possibly...
Okay, we're not going to open up that can of worms. But, it's going to take us a
while. Point is, like, that's why I think Dignitas are by far ahead. They are, like, universally stronger individually as well as a team. And Gen G have got a similar thing down. I think you could make a case how, say, Hyde is a better support than Sarke, but it just doesn't matter because Gen G are that much better as a unit.
Okay, to round that off, the last thing I wanted to ask you, really short answer, starting with you, Heartless. What is the percent chance that someone else than Gen G wins BlizzCon?
I mean, I would give them a 70-30 with 30. Like Dignitas has to make something happen. And if Dignitas somehow, some way doesn't make it to the grand finals, then it's 100% Gen G going to be, in my opinion.
Yeah, so 30% chance for a Dignitas win there, maybe.
If it's versus Dignitas. If it's 100%. Yeah.
Larkin, what about you?
I think in a best of 100, Dignitas have every much as chance of beating Gen G as Gen G have a chance of beating Dignitas. I don't think that they are that far off at all. But as Hollis said, if it's not Dignitas in the final, then Gen G will win for sure. If it is, 50-50.
Okay, time to cross our EU fingers as we are going into another HDC split leading up to BlizzCon. It's going to be really exciting to follow that. And of course, we will be here every week to bring you more episodes talking about the HDC action that just passed in the weekend. We are not quite done yet. Before we leave you for this week's episode, Heartless here have a pretty cool concept going here on the Heroes launch that we did kind of touch upon last week, but we want to mention it again. Heartless, tell me a little bit more about this educational launch.
Right, so for quite a while now, I've been wanting to make some more educational content for the community of Heroes Lounge, specifically, and Heroes of the Storm in general. And so I got the chance to work with an amazing man, Cavalier Guest, who has agreed to participate in a weekly show with me. And in those weekly shows, we every time discuss a different topic. We started with experience, followed up by map breakdown and then drafting. This was the last episode. And kind of we were building it up, if you notice, talking about the most basic things and then building up on top of that and going, you know, to the next subject that makes sense. So basically this whole thing is about teaching and helping people get a little bit better about the game, showing them something they might have not known. I know, even though I'm hosting it and I get the notes beforehand, there's quite a few things that I haven't known before until I got, you know, the chance to talk with Cav a bit about those. So it's educational for everyone, including myself, which is fantastic.
Yeah, Cavalier Guest, of course, being a very well-known personality in the Heroes of the Storm, former HEC coach, and pretty much one of the best theory crafters in the Heroes scene. So he's joining Heartless for an episode every week on different subjects. And this Thursday, coming up now, the 23rd, it should be, you got something very, very special, kind of, which is more interactive.
Yeah, so like I mentioned, we are building the episodes on top of one another. So we're starting with the basics. And because we're building on top of one another, the last episode we did was on drafting. So for me, it made sense to make the next episode a mock draft tournament, so to say. So we spoke about drafting, and now we're going to put people to the test, right? So this upcoming Thursday, I'm not actually sure when you're going to release this podcast, but on Thursday the 23rd, at 7 p.m., we're going to have a small mock draft tournament. Keep in mind, though, even though it's a tournament, it's still an educational content. So this is the highest priority in it. It's for the educational purpose. So we're going to have a small mock draft tournament. People are going to be drafting against one another, and we're going to have a pair of judges giving them points and scores and determining who is who have won the draft, and that person will move on to the next round, and hopefully we're going to have an interesting drafting going on.
Sounds like a very good time. It's been a huge hit so far, the educational lounge show. Heartless and Kevlar is, of course, going to keep that coming for us. Just gonna do that part. That if you want to catch all this action, the Heroes Lounge is the place to be. The world's biggest it's really in the gray zone now. The Europe's biggest amateur Heroes of the Storm League. You can find us on Twitter, Heroes_Lounge on Twitch, and all that good stuff. Because this Gloria show will of course be streamed on our Twitch channel together with a lot of amateur Heroes of the Storm action. They're coming out from our teams. We are going to head over to that instead. So this is the end for this week's episode. Larkin, thanks so much for coming on.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. I hope I can come on again.
We are looking forward to it. Heartless too. Thanks for taking the time.
Thank you for having me, man. I kind of said it was a bit shorter than usual, but it was a pleasure as always, man.
Definitely. We are going to have you both on again, most likely, as we are going to keep covering the Heroes of the Storm esports scene here at Talking Up a Storm, a Heroes Lounge podcast. I am your friendly neighborhood Latino Narsha. We are done for today. Hope you catch us next week soon for episode 2. Until then, good luck and have feats.
Bye-bye.